Good morning. What a blessing it is to see you here in this Lord's Day. If you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you. We encourage that you to take one of those cards out that you see in front of you and fill that out. That's just so we can express our appreciation for you being here with us today. And you can put that in one of the black boxes that you see in the back of the auditorium there after service is done. Don McCullough, in his book, Waking from the American Dream, that I was looking at the other day, recounts a story in the early parts of World War II, I think it was 1942, when England needed to increase its production of coal to fight against the German army. Winston Churchill, he called together labor leaders to enlist their support, and at the end of his presentation, he asked them to picture in their minds a parade, which he knew would be held in Piccadilly Square after the war, after they had won. First, he said to the people there, would come the sailors in this imaginary parade who kept the vital sea lanes open, he says. Then he said would come the soldiers who had come home from Dunkirk and then gone on to defeat Rommel in Africa. And then he said would come the pilots who had driven the Luftwaffe from the sky and many other soldiers. And then last of all, he said, would come a long line of sweat-stained, soot-streaked men in miners' caps. And someone would cry from the crowd, "And where were you during the critical days of the war, of our struggle?" And from 10,000 throats, he said, would come the answer, "We were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal." We were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal. The Church of the Living God that we read about in Scripture is designed by God to be a body of believers who have their faces to the coal, who serve one another. Not live to serve themselves, but live to serve each other. And as we continue to look in this series that we are embarking on, this One Another series, that we're looking at several passages in the New Testament that deal with one another, interpersonal relationships between the Church of Jesus Christ, I would like to direct our minds to Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. That's where we're going to be for our lesson this morning, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. And look at how it's our commission by God, not just a few people, but all of us, to serve one another. Look with me in the first part of verse 13, if you will. Paul says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers." Now remember from previous Bible study that in the book of Galatians, Paul's opponents here, the Judaizers, were saying that to be in right standing with God, one must follow the meticulous rules and regulations of the ceremonial law of Moses. Circumcision, Sabbath observance, food laws, feasts and festivals, etc., implying that Christ's sacrifice wasn't sufficient enough to cover all sins. You need other things. You need things in addition as well. You need to follow the law. You need to embrace the law and follow Christ if you desire right standing with God, if you desire to be justified before God. And Paul is saying that in Christ, we are set free. We have freedom from the law of Moses. We aren't justified by our observances and works of the law, but rather by faith in Jesus Christ as a gift. Paul says we are free. We are free in Jesus Christ. Backing up in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." As we see within the New Testament, as we read its pages, we see that Christian freedom is one of the great themes that encompasses the entire New Testament. We are free as people of God. We are free, a body of believers who have bowed their knee to Jesus Christ. We experience freedom from Him in many different aspects, in many different forms. We are free, in one sense, from the law's burdens. We're free from attempting to justify ourselves before God through the works of the law. We can rather enjoy right relationship, right standing with God because of what Jesus has done for us. Likewise, we're also free, the Bible teaches, from the pervasive power of sin. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6 that FH mentioned last week, we were once slaves of sin. We were once slaves of sin, obeying its passions, obeying its lusts. But in Jesus, we are set free from the power of sin, and we're enabled by the Spirit to please God, to be in right standing with God, to obey God, and to walk in Him. Likewise, we are free from the guilt of our past. All of our past sins, all of our past guilt and regrets that haunt us torturously and replay in our minds over and over again are destroyed in Jesus. We can live in freedom of forgiveness because of His grace, because of His mercy. And also the Bible teaches that we are free from eternal punishment. We don't have to live this life in fear that we're going to be condemned on the day of judgment. But rather we can live with the joy of sure expectation that Christ will take us in the shadow of His wing and we will live with Him in right relationship forever. Freedom is one of our most blessed gifts that we have from Jesus. However, the idea of freedom, freedom in Jesus, Christian freedom, is one of the great paradoxes of the Christian faith, and it's often misunderstood, the idea of Christian freedom. You see, most people in our world today, when we think of the idea of freedom, we think of the idea of freedom from tyranny, freedom from oppression, freedom from domination of a power that was once greater than us. And when we're freed from those things, we're free to express ourselves however we wish. And we're free to choose to follow whatever desire is in our hearts that was once restrained and held captive by the greater power. However, that's not the idea of Christian freedom. Christian freedom is much different than our modern concept of freedom. And Paul explains this in the book of Galatians. Look down with me in verse 13. The second part, it says, chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Paul says that Christian freedom is not the liberty to follow our heart's passions and desires. Christian freedom is not a license to gratify the desires of the flesh, our natural weakness that's inclined towards sin. Rather, Christian freedom is the enablement of the believer to become a servant. Christian freedom is the enablement of the believer to become a servant. Notice what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. Peter says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, no, but living as servants of God. He says, use your freedom not to indulge your natural inclinations and passions and desires, but use it. Use this freedom, this blessed freedom that you have in Jesus Christ to serve one another. And that's one of Paul's main points within this passage that we're looking at this morning. Also, look with me again in verse 13 of Galatians chapter 5. It says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity from the flesh. And notice what he says here, but through love serve one another. Through love serve one another. We are free. We are free people in Jesus, but we are free to serve one another. True Christian freedom, true legitimate Christian freedom is legitimately expressed through service to one another with an attitude of love, of grace, and mercy. That's true freedom. that the Bible talks about, that the Bible teaches. It isn't the liberty to chase after my own carnal, fleshly desires, as we so often think of freedom within our culture. Rather, it's the transformation of the heart by the Spirit that enables a person to see other people through the eyes of God Himself as precious souls in need of a Savior, and to use the talents and abilities that God has blessed us with to serve the needs of my brothers and sisters in Jesus. Now, notice with me in our passage this morning, the word serve. Notice with me the word serve. Look down at the word serve in our passage in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Paul says, serve one another, but through love, serve one another. Now, the original Greek verb is douleo, and it's in the present active imperative form here. It not only communicates the idea of service, like we would think of, you know, tying someone's shoes, or giving someone a meal, or helping them cross the street, but it also communicates the idea of slavery. In fact, the root word of douleo is doulos, and which literally means a slave. Notice with me how Paul uses this same word in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, referring to himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. Paul says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more." Paul says that he has willingly made himself a slave to all people, to all men. He isn't only a mere servant who helps people out every now and then, but still seeks his own interest above that of the other. Rather, he has subjected himself. He has subjected his actions, his attitudes, his will to a life that primarily seeks the benefit of others greater than his own. Another way that you could, in fact, faithfully translate our passage this morning in Galatians chapter 5, 13 is this way: through love, enslave yourselves to one another. Through love, enslave yourselves to one another. Be controlled not by a human master, but by the newfound love you now possess for one another, welling up in your heart due to the love of God poured out in your life. True Christian freedom is expressed by willingly becoming slaves to one another. In Jesus, I am your slave. I am your servant. I do what I do so that you might taste and experience the love of God in Christ Jesus with even greater intensity, and so that you can become all that God wants you to be. In Jesus, likewise, you are my slave. I can live without fear that you're going to manipulate me, abuse me, or try to exalt yourself over me. And I can live in faith that you have my best interest at heart, and that you're going to care for me like you care for your own self. I'm your slave. You are my slave. This is exactly the dynamic of interpersonal relationships that God intends for us to have with one another. We are enslaved to one another, to each other. Not in a self-exalting, self-pleasing, manipulative kind of way that we often so think of slavery, but rather we're slaves to one another in the sense of a willing, self-sacrificial, selfless spirit that sincerely seeks the good of one's neighbor above our own. And remember that this is the same kind of attitude that Jesus Christ expressed to us. Notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Paul says, "Have this mind, this kind of a mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But what did he do? He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant or a slave. Same word that Paul uses in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God is the freest being that has ever existed. He possesses more freedom and liberty than anyone or anything. But he expressed his freedom. God expressed his freedom, his liberty, by becoming a slave, by becoming a servant. Serving one another in this way, in this Jesus-like manner, that's freedom, brothers and sisters. Service is Christian freedom. Because when we express it, when we become servants one of another, slaves to each other, we truly become like God. That's true freedom. When your heart, when your mind, when your will becomes a mirror image, becomes a reflection of all that God is, that's true freedom. When we become servants one of another, enslaved to each other, we become like God and we experience the freedom that he so wants us to feel and taste and live out within our life. Do you see yourself in this way this morning? Ask yourself, do I see myself as enslaved to my brothers and sisters in Jesus, just as Jesus has expressed his freedom by becoming a slave, a servant to me? I think that it's difficult for us to think this way, that we're bound to one another so tightly in Christ that our relationships with one another are intended to look like slavery. Not primarily, I think, because we live in a culture that's extremely individualistic and thrives on independence, although that's certainly a part of it. It's difficult for us to see ourselves, rather, as slaves, as servants to one another, because we have a natural weakness, our flesh, that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5, that's inclined to satisfy its own needs and its own desires first and seek self-exaltation above that of the other at the expense of the other. And that's why Paul says what he says in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. Look in verse 16, skipping forward a few verses. But I say in verse 16, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Our flesh doesn't want to become a slave. Our flesh doesn't want to become a servant to our brothers and sisters in Jesus. Rather, it wants to indulge in inferior pleasures. It wants to be seen as glorious in front of other people and mighty in the presence of others. It wants to divide and tear apart the unity that God sacrificed to create. It wants to call the shots and live how it desires. And that's why it's critical, Paul says, that we walk by the flesh, we walk by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. We can't become slaves to one another on our own. That's what Paul implies here. We're too weak. We need help. We need supernatural help. We need the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God to transform our hearts and desires. We must walk by the Spirit, lean on Him, depend on Him, allow Him to change every part of who you are by saturating yourself in His Word, in His direction, and in His leading. That's how we grow in our capacity to serve one another. We say to ourselves, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. I need you every hour. Oh God, I need you. And we fully surrender to His direction and trust that He's changing us from the inside out. Again, This is freedom. That's freedom. Becoming a slave. Becoming a servant. Just like Jesus became a servant to you. We aren't living in Christian freedom if we haven't embraced this mentality, if we haven't become servants and slaves to one another. Now notice with me what Paul continues to say in verse 14 concerning the extent of our servitude toward one another. Look with me there, Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Say it in kids sing every Sunday night. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor like you love your own self. This describes the extent in which our service or slavery to one another should be demonstrated. With the same kind of love that you show yourself, how you seek your own desires, how you seek your own well-being, how you pursue your own good, we should exhibit toward our neighbor. Now, based upon the context of the passage, I think that we can faithfully say this: serve one another as yourself. Serve one another as yourself. Serve one another like you serve yourself. All of us are naturally inclined to serve ourselves, aren't we? What do we do when we get hungry? We go and search for a meal. We search to be fed. We go looking for food. What do we do when we're cold? We go look for a jacket. We shelter ourselves in our heated homes. And in our cars that have heat and seat warmers and all of that. What do we do when we hurt? We search for coping mechanisms in any way that we know how, even if they aren't healthy, to alleviate ourselves from the pain that we experience. Becoming a slave to one another means that I serve my fellow believers to the same degree that I naturally serve myself. That's the extent that Paul's talking about. That's the extent that our servitude is demonstrated. To the same extent that I desire myself to be fed, I desire that for my brothers and sisters in Jesus. To the same degree that I desire to be warm, to be comforted, to be filled, I desire that for my brothers and sisters in Jesus. To the same magnitude, I desire to be free from pain and heartache and hurt. I desire that for the church of God, for the family of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that's what it means to be a Christian at its core. To be so traumatically devastated by the love of God in Christ Jesus, that your only response is to serve those around you like Jesus has served you. To look internally at the level of service you render to yourself naturally and reflect that same level of service to others, specifically our brothers and sisters in Jesus. However, if service to one another, if it's not present, if it's lacking, then I believe Paul implies that biting and devouring and consuming will be and will destroy one another, making Christ's sacrifice for sinners look nothing but a fraud to the rest of the world. Notice what he says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Paul's saying that there's no middle ground here. We either love one another and serve one another and seek to grow in that capacity, or we sink back into apathy, which will eventually produce biting and devouring, resulting in us consuming one another instead of serving. That's why it's so important for us to keep this on the forefront of our minds. We're weak. This is very difficult for us to do. We must walk by the Spirit, lean on the Spirit, depend on the Spirit, cry out to Him for help, to help me to love my neighbor as my own self, to serve my neighbor, my brothers and sisters in Jesus, like I serve my own self. This is imperative of God's new creation, to behave this way, to act this way, to serve one another like we serve our own self. Because when we do, we signal to those people out in the world that don't know Jesus that this is the real thing, that this is from God. Serve one another like you serve yourself, and you'll be pointing people to the very nature of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus. A fortified family lives in freedom together, lives in the freedom of service to one another. We willingly and we lovingly put our faces to the coal and serve one another, become enslaved to one another. We use the spiritual gifts that God has so freely blessed us with, graced us with, to encourage each other, to teach each other, to lead each other, to serve each other in various capacities, and all for the purpose so that all may see God in His glory and submit to Him in a loving relationship. This morning, if you need anything, if there's anything that we can do for you, any way that we can pray for you, we invite you to come forward this morning. Or if you're not a Christian, you know that you're lost this morning, you have an opportunity to see Jesus for who He is, as the way, the truth, and the life. Believe on His name, and you can repent of your sins. Make a decision right now to do a 180 in your life. And you can confess, you can come forward this morning and confess faith in Jesus and be immersed in the waters of baptism and experience a joyous relationship in Jesus. If you have any need this morning, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing.